Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Made it to the weekend. Thanks for being with us. It is the start of high school football last night. Eric was out of the game. Tonight there's games. We have Cardinals preseason tomorrow against the Chargers. Before you know it, this fake football will be over with on the pro side. The college games will get started in 13 days, I do believe. So, man, it's warming up. Today's show, Brad Edwards is going to be with us, ESPN College Football Insider, one of the best in the business, Brad Edwards talking college football. Goody at the movies, Goody is back, and only Bill could send me a text and say, I saw an Evel Knievel documentary, and it was cool. So he saw that, and he also talked with Liam Neeson this week. I don't know what, you know, if they talked dinner plans or anything like that, but Liam Neeson called Bill, and so we'll talk to Bill Goodykuntz about that. And Jerome Sowers will be with us just after 11 o'clock, the head football coach at Northern Arizona University, as we continue around the state and what's going on in training camps. We are Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric, sports360az.com. We are the mothership, and AZ Central Sports partners with us and takes the show every day. We appreciate them being on board on that front. Let's get you caught up. Some of the things on my mind in the world of sports brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. So my wife says to me this morning, the beach sounds really good this weekend, but I've got things to do. I'm a busy guy. I've got a show. I got games to go to. I got that. So I said, just go. So she and our 10-year-old are going to head over to the beach. And when they say something like that, I know that they're in a vehicle that I can trust on a short notice that is going to head across the desert. She's going to bring back some stuff from her parents' house for us. The Explorer makes a lot of sense. It's a 2013 certified pre-owned that we purchased at Santan Ford. I went to General Manager Tim Hovick and said, I need to get a vehicle for my wife. This Expedition we have, and we've had it since 2003. It's cleared 160-some-odd-thousand miles. We've done the whole thing of three kids at soccer games and basketball games and traveling back and forth. It's been a great vehicle, but I just think it's time. He said, yeah, you may want to look at the certified pre-owned. It may make sense for you and your budget and what you're doing. That type of advice, it's not, hey, so what's your payment? You know, it's not that as the first question. The people at Santan Ford really do make the difference. And if you need your vehicle service, go over to Quick Lane and see John Bernath. He does a terrific job as well. That's at Santan Ford, Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. ESPN's College Football Insider Brad Edwards coming up in 10 minutes. So the Chargers and Cardinals tomorrow night, and the starters are going to play a quarter. So there's some things that I want to see in this game out of the Cardinals. And I think the way that it's gone this week, with the Bobby Massey suspension and the Potty knee injury, it's the offensive line to me first and foremost. The first and foremost is, what is this starting offensive line going to look like for Bruce Arians and company? How they use the term gel. I hear gel all the time. I do believe that that is the case with an offensive line. You are all trying to be on the same page. We have seen just awful offensive lines through the years, and I think now there's the best collection of players on the offensive front that the Cardinals have had probably in the 20-plus years I've been here. But they're beat up, or they're going to be suspended, or they're inexperienced. You know, DJ Humphrey's inexperienced. But what does the offensive line look like first and foremost in the game on Saturday night? I think secondly, it leads over to the running backs. So if the line is able to do much of anything, then if Chris Johnson gets some carries, what is he able to do? Getting Chris Johnson out in space and Chris Johnson being able to make plays, I don't have any question that that's going to be the case. And I believe it's the same thing with Andre Ellington. Guys, if we're being just straight honest with one another, they're going to be able to throw the football around. But even last week against Kansas City, I didn't think they ran the football very well at all. And I don't know that Chris Johnson can run the football. I don't know if they can go out and get 3-4 yards a carry. They were just awful with a capital A last year. They've been awful at running back for years in terms of production. Nice guys, nice players. But in overall production, it's not been good. And so if you cannot run the football in any way, shape, or form, then you're going to see what happened last year against Carolina in the playoffs. You're just going to get run over because your quarterback is a sitting duck back there. And I think for Carson Palmer to be healthy this season Every show I bring this up about him, but it's true. If they can't find a way to improve on their just miserable showing running the ball, they're going to struggle. So offensive line two, running the football second. I think in the secondary, if we look over on the defensive side of the football, so I know what Patrick Peterson can do. And I hear everybody raving about Justin Bethel, but I have not seen Justin Bethel do it in a regular season game. So he's got another chance tomorrow night in a glorified scrimmage in fake football. So I think that's something of interest to look at. The use of backups tomorrow night will be of interest to me because these games really are all about, as much as I despise this time of year, there is value from guys on the roster from about 30 to the end of the roster. How good is the bottom, the back end of your roster? How much depth do you really have? Last week, it looked very apparent that the number twos and threes for Kansas City were much, much better than the number twos and threes for the Arizona Cardinals. So if you don't have depth and you get pushed all around the field, that's not good. So the use of the backups tomorrow night and who plays and how do they play? It's pretty simple to say, wow, I really wonder how Logan Thomas is going to look at quarterback. That's low-hanging fruit, okay? What happens in the interior defensive line for your rotation? How deep can you really go? Is there anybody other than Calais Campbell that can just flat-out play? At your linebacker position, do you really have depth there? Because every week I get the when's Darryl Washington coming back question. I just think you need to move on from that. There was a story last night in football that has nothing at all to do with the Cardinals. But it has everything to do with why some organizations are just putrid and also why sometimes you look at Bruce Arians and say, I really am glad that he is on my side of the street and not somebody else. So remember when the Cardinals interviewed, Eric, do you remember when Jay Gruden was a name that the Cardinals were kicking around when the coaching job was open?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
And you know where he is now? He's in Washington.
Yes.
Did you see what happened to RG3 last night?
I did not see it, but I heard about it.
My gosh. You know, this is fake football. And RG3 is somebody that you've got to rely upon. And he got crushed last night. And they kept throwing him out there. And Jay Gruden says, well, we had to get some answers. We weren't seeing what we needed to see out of our offense. And boy, that just looks like a marriage that is going to end. RG3 was just crushed last night, so that caught my eye, too.
He's the best quarterback in the league, though.
That's what he said, right.
Yeah, according to him.
And what was he, like 28th, 29th last year in rating?
Wow.
And
wow.
But the fact that they left him out there, and I'm thinking, you know, sure, maybe Jay Gruden, if he's out here running the Cardinals and Carson Palmer does one series on the field, he gets him off. But there's no reason, in my view, when you're paying someone that much money, to just leave them out there as a sacrificial lamb. So that caught my eye. Eric was out last night. We do high school here too because it's a big part of what we're all about. Eric was out last night. You saw Chandler, the number one team in the state. I think they're ranked nationally by some of these polls and all that stuff.
They should be. They should be.
How many Division I players do you think there were on the field? 10, 12, 14?
I don't know about that many, but they have a handful of skill players that are being recruited by
everybody.
High-end schools. Yeah.
Did you see anybody last night of substance on the college end?
I did not.
I don't know if it's an open period or not.
No, I mean, I saw the usual suspects, like our friend Jason Jewell was out there.
That's
and,
a suspect.
You know, some of the local college coaches.
Yeah,
Arizona Christian had a coach out there, a couple coaches. So
yeah, which is fine. I bring this up because Chandler has a whole bunch of players that ASU and U of A have both offered. And so this was not a game, right? Pinnacle and Chandler.
Well, what you're seeing right now, Brad, this was the first play from scrimmage. Chase Lucas took it 80 yards on the first offensive play.
Yeah.
And Chandler scored four times in the first quarter on four possessions.
On four touches?
Yeah.
Four touches?
Not four touches, okay. Four possessions.
Right.
And poor Pinnacle, they're starting a bunch of sophomores, and their freshman quarterback right there got killed, Spencer Rattler, but he's going to be a good one. So
who's this at quarterback?
This is Mason Moran. He is going to Oregon State.
He's going to Oregon State?
Yep.
Yeah.
He waited patiently behind Bryce Perkins and finally got his chance now that Bryce is at ASU.
He'd never played quarterback, right, if
nope.
I remember right?
Nope, but he's 6'3", about 200 pounds.
And this is the quarterback that just got crushed,
yeah.
Huh? This poor kid. But he's going to be good. He's only a freshman. You think he's going to be one of these top recruited?
I don't know if he's going to be a top recruit, but he's 14 years old. He's replacing Brian Lewerke, who's now at Michigan State. And, yeah, your first game is against Chandler. So, yeah, go ahead.
So they just keep rolling players out there. Now, to add to this, so that's the number one team in the state that made their debut last night. College coaches have told me, Brad, our first stop in looking for high school talent to come to our college, we stop at Hamilton. And that's now no longer the case. Our first stop has to be at Chandler. It's pretty interesting when you talk to people over at Hamilton as to what's going on at Chandler and Chandler with Hamilton. It's like the Wild West out there. I love living out there. It's a great way of living, but the football scene is just absolutely crazy.
Well, between Basha, and Basha's got some good players, including their quarterbacks, getting recruited by everybody. So,
by everybody.
Yeah. So, East Valley, there's good talent.
But next week, okay, just to look ahead, next week, so Bishop Gorman is the top team in Las Vegas. They have a quarterback that is viewed as the number one quarterback in the country for the class of 2017. This game's in Vegas. Eric actually came in and said he wants to go.
Yeah, maybe we'll see.
Yeah, you're not quite sure, huh?
I can't get a flight up there. I mean, I can, but I can't get a cheap flight up there. So
yeah,
we'll see.
The Diamondbacks last night, they beat the Reds 5-4. They were down 4-0. Nice comeback. AJ Pollock, a 2-run single in the eighth. So the Diamondbacks get the victory there. And on the other side, we will talk with Brad Edwards, ESPN College Football Insider. I'm going to talk to Brad Edwards about ASU, U of A, the view there, the Pac-12 South, the championship game in Glendale come January, and much, much more. That's next on Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center available 24/7, 365 at Sports360AZ.com.
A couple of weeks from today, we'll be on a plane down to Houston for ASU and Texas A&M. Sports360AZ.com. Brad Sussmat. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We've talked with Todd Graham, and we've talked with Rich Rod. We have some video of Rich Rod a little bit later in the show, canceling practice yesterday. Jerome Sowers a little bit later on. So we go up to NAU just for a brief check-in on what's going on with the Lumberjacks. And, of course, we have the college football title game. The CFP is here, the college football playoff, coming up in January, and we'll have a weekly segment on that with the CFP folks that we're very much looking forward to. Brad Edwards joins us now, ESPN College Football Insider, as we get ready for the start of Arizona State and the University of Arizona. You're going to be here for the CFP, right, Brad?
I'll be there for the championship game, yeah. I was actually hoping that if the Sun Devils happen to knock off A&M in the opener, that my radio show might be there for the SC game. But it looks like we're not going to travel that week. So yeah, I think that might be my only trip out to your part of the country this year. But it'll be a big one.
Let's work in reverse then. If you're sitting here doing your show today and jumping on my show, who's in your CFP here in Glendale in January?
Well, I actually had to do this for the first time back in February, I think. So
you got rehearsed.
They don't make it easy on you, you know? Like as soon as the signing classes have been put on paper, they ask for predictions. And the group that I went with then, I've stuck with. I have really no confidence in anyone other than Ohio State. They're the one team that I think when you combine talent and schedule, it would be almost inexcusable for them not to at least make the playoff. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there's a reason that only three teams have repeated as national champions since 1980. You know, it's not easy to do, and one of the reasons is complacency, and those teams have a tendency to just take things for granted, and on the wrong week, they show up and play their C game against someone else who plays their A game, and that's how teams don't repeat. So as much as I expect them to be there, you just never know with college football. I think they're going to be in everybody's top four or everyone's projected playoff. The other ones I went with, I'm on the USC bandwagon. Mm-hmm. I'm picking them to win the Pac-12. I recognize the depth issues, and they get injuries at the wrong spots. It could go very badly for them. But I'm gonna take USC. I'm going with Auburn out of the SEC, which, look, taking anybody out of the SEC is a roll of the dice. I mean, I think someone from the SEC is going to be in the playoff. It's just a matter of who. And I think I can trust Gus Malzahn to have a good offense every year. And I think Will Muschamp will help their defense go from bad to average. And I think that'll be enough to help them get out. But, you know what, anything in the SEC is a guess. And then the fourth one is a surprise. You got to go out on a limb somewhere. I don't think we're going to have chalk like we had last year. I'm taking Oklahoma State.
Wow.
And to my knowledge, I'm the only person who's done that. But, you know, everyone's big on TCU and Baylor, and those who aren't are probably thinking that Oklahoma finally, you know, gets its way back to the top. But I'm gonna go with Oklahoma State. One of the things I like about them is their schedule, which in the month of November, they actually host TCU, Baylor, and Oklahoma.
Mm.
What are considered to be the three best teams in the conference all have to go to Stillwater in the month of November. And on top of that, I think they're, you know, a top 25 caliber team. And so that's the one where I'm you know, going out on a limb, and we'll see if I have that limb break underneath me and fall on my face.
You'd like to live out on the limb. You ate a raw egg earlier. Do you do that often as part of college football?
No, it was that was a thing from Big Ten media days. There was an offensive lineman. I think it was an offensive lineman. It was a player for Iowa who the media had heard. He grew up on a farm in Nebraska, and they had heard that he sometimes would eat eggs raw.
Mm-hmm.
He said that he liked to eat eggs for breakfast, and sometimes when he was just too lazy to cook them, he would just take the whole thing and put it in his mouth and chew it up, shell and all. And he demonstrated it on camera, and I was on College Football Live that day, and they showed him doing it, and they brought three raw eggs out to the set, and it was myself with Chris Cotter and Rodney Gilmore, and they asked if any of us would be interested in giving it a shot. And I really didn't plan to do it, but then I just thought, you know what, this would be such a lame ending to the show, to sit there for 20 seconds and have three men look at each other, and nobody's got the guts to do what we just saw this college kid do. So I did. I put it in my mouth, and I've got to say, it didn't taste as bad as I thought it would. You'd probably have to pay me to do it again, but it wasn't awful.
Of course, that's what it's all about. You have to have good TV there, as they like to say. Brad Edwards with us for a couple of minutes, multi-talented eating eggs. He joins us here on the show. Arizona State and Arizona, is there a decided difference in your opinion between the two?
I like Arizona State better. I think it's a combination of quarterback. I recognize that Arizona has the more experienced quarterback coming out of last year. I was a big fan of Bercovici. I understand why Taylor Kelly needed to play once he came back. But I think Bercovici was their better quarterback last year, and I expect big things from him this year. Obviously, you got to find some solution for losing Jalen Strong. But I'm excited to see what DJ Foster is going to do, how they're going to use him. I think that'll be fun. And I also think that most people around the country are not aware of how good Arizona State's defense was last year. And given the guys coming back, I think they should still be a pretty good defense this year. You know, we don't at ESPN spend a whole lot of time looking at conventional stats like, mm-hmm. Points per game allowed, yards per game allowed, stuff like that. We have efficiency rankings that are looking at a variety of things. And Arizona State was 17th in the nation in our defensive efficiency rankings last year. So I think because I like the quarterback better and I like the defense better, I expect Arizona State to finish ahead of Arizona.
In Rich Rod's case, Brad, I think he's done a very good job down there in building it up. And we were at Pac-12 Football Media Day for a couple of days of shows, and I do believe there's going to be that chip on the shoulder that Rich can push, obviously, by saying, look, you guys won the South, you went to the title game, you went to the Fiesta Bowl, the Pac-12 title game, you went to the Fiesta Bowl, and yet nobody thinks you're any better than fourth within the conference. That said, I think the word cannibalization is going to be used probably every week by people on sets about the Pac-12 South. Would you agree or disagree on that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons actually that I struggle with where to put UCLA, because when we had the Pac-12 coaches come through here a few weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
For what you've probably heard referred to as the car wash, where different conferences send their coaches up to Bristol, and
right.
They make the rounds and go through and talk to everybody. There were a number of Pac-12 coaches who said that, they think that UCLA has the most talent of any team in the conference. Mm. The issue, of course, is that it looks like they're going to have a true freshman at quarterback. And anytime you have a division where there's so much parity, whether it be the Pac-12 South, the SEC West, I think we're still a couple years away from being there with the Big Ten East. But those two divisions in particular, in the Pac-12 and the SEC, I think you're going to play so many close games that, you know, in order to come out on top, you're going to have a good record in those close games. And I just have a hard time trusting a true freshman quarterback when games are tight in the fourth quarter. And that's my hang up on UCLA. Obviously, for a team like Arizona, where they have a quarterback who's been through that once, he has plenty of experience already in some close games. A few of them he brought his team out on top. I think that that helps you. But just all in all, the way that Solomon ended the season, I really struggle with what to make of him. Mm. You know, I was kind of excited about him midway through the season. I was excited about, you know, I actually was kind of going back to Rich Rod at West Virginia when he had Pat White and Steve Slayton as freshmen. He had the quarterback right. And the running back together, and they kind of grew up together, and the offense was explosive. And it looked like you were going to get that same thing with Solomon and Wilson. And then Solomon, at the very end, look, it was a brutal Pac-12 championship game. And I don't think there are too many players on the team that played well right. against Oregon. But I didn't think he played very well at all against Boise State either. And so the way he ended the season just kind of left a lot of questions for me about, you know, how good is he really? Did people figure him out, or was there an injury situation? Exactly what was going on there, and how much better will he be this year?
Before I let you go, I'm curious your view. You're respected nationally on the college front, and so as we look at expansion, we hear about Big Five coming down to Power Five, maybe down to Power Four. What makes sense from your view, and do you think the late night call could come from Larry Scott towards a couple of teams in the Big 12, like an Oklahoma or like a Texas, for example?
Well, I think if the Pac-12 were to expand, those would be the only two that would make sense. It's all about reach, and just it seems that with the, you know, with the TV models that these conferences have, and you know how they need more cable subscribers in order to, you know, to make money. Mm-hmm. So it's about market, you know, and obviously there's no bigger grab out there. Except for Notre Dame, which is essentially affiliated with the ACC at this point. There's no bigger grab out there than Texas. And you know what, to tell you the truth, Texas might even be bigger than Notre Dame.
When they're good.
You could make the argument. Yeah, when they're good. Right, when they're good. Because you're getting the whole state of Texas.
And when Steve Patterson's not there upsetting people, because we had Steve out here.
Exactly.
Right? You know? So sure. I agree with you.
How quickly that situation is going to be resolved in Austin, I have no idea. Yeah. But I do think those are the two that would make the most sense to grab, just because of the tradition, the size of the fan base, and you know Oklahoma doesn't give you as much from a population standpoint. Certainly nowhere in the League of Texas, but I'm not sure that anybody else in the Big 12 does either. So I guess the ideal for the Pac-12 would be to grab Texas and Notre Dame, but I think if you just get Texas, that's going to do enough. The question is, you know, is because you hear these conversations and how much there really is to them, I don't know. But they ask, would the state legislature or the trustees, whoever the powers are that be, would they allow Oklahoma to leave Oklahoma State in the dust? Would they allow Texas to leave and just hang, you know, Baylor and Texas Tech out to dry without a real conference to play in? I have no idea. Actually, Baylor's a private school, so that probably wouldn't be as big of a deal. But Texas Tech would be.
Sure.
So I'm not sure. I'm not sure really what we're looking at in terms of the likelihood of there being a Big 12 breakup. But I do know this. If Texas and Oklahoma both leave, in fact, I think if either one of them leaves, it's probably the end of the Big 12.
Hmm. really good stuff as always. I appreciate the time, Brad. Thanks.
All right, Brad. Take care.
Good visiting with you. There's Brad Edwards, ESPN College Football Insider. Whenever Eric comes in and he says, we're going to have Brad Edwards, you better have your A game because, man, he is just so insightful and so good. So, Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. I'm Brad Susmat. So here's the thing about doing this show for the, what are we at now, Eric? We're coming up on 4 years now. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. There's times that as we do this show that things just kind of pop up. And we're an open book here because it's like we're our own little community. What's been cool about this is there's people that contribute stuff that have been with us since the day I left three, went over and did the goofy radio stuff and then got out of there, thank God, and have come over here and have just done our thing and grown and grown and grown. We have some TV stuff we're going to announce here in the next couple weeks, if not sooner, some partnerships. But I'm sitting there in that last segment with Brad Edwards and I get a text from my son that he gets engaged today. Just like out of the blue, like she said, I think the text was she didn't say no. And then there's this picture of a big old rock.
Yeah, and she's smiling ear to ear. So I'm doubting she said no.
I am doubting she said no, too. So it's one of those odd things, guys, where when you get into the fatherhood thing and your son who's in his 24, 25 range. And he decides, you know, I'm going to get engaged. And it's not at night. It's not over some bridge. They're in Seattle. But then I'm supposed to be focused like a true professional on talking to Brad Edwards. And I thought I was pretty good. Was I that bad off? I sent Eric a text during the interview saying Kyle just got engaged.
No, you weren't bad off at all.
But if I hadn't sent that to you,
you couldn't have been super surprised.
No, I'm not shocked by it.
I mean, you are his dad.
Should we Skype him in on the show, do you think, to give him a hard time? Do we want to try that, Jared? You've got his number. I think. Do you have his number, Eric? I think you've got his number. We should. I mean, I'm stuck here till the show's over, and I should probably congratulate my son on. And don't tell him, you know, or call him. Just see if he'll pick up.
We'll see what we can do.
Do you have his number?
We'll effort.
You'll effort? Yeah. I mean, I don't care if it's Skype because they're in Seattle. They should have good bandwidth there. Because I'd kind of like to see the hardware he got her. So I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but it's just the way that it goes. It's that moment in life where your son, your oldest, decides to get engaged. So, and I appreciate the text of people sending in saying congratulations. It's cool. Now I'm supposed to focus on this show like a true paid professional. So some way, somehow, I'll get back on the tracks. I do want to get down to Rich Rod. It's so cool he's engaged. I want to get back to Rich Rod because yesterday in Tucson, so Rich Rod, we have this. Am I too soon on it? Rich Rod was supposed to have practice, and here is what happened yesterday with U of A and Rich Rodriguez.
All right, two things real quick. First off, do you understand what I mean by competing?
Yes, sir.
We're keeping score, your ass competes. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
You're all competitors, that's why you're here. So compete. Every drill we have, compete. And second thing, you understand in practice, we want to make you uncomfortable. You understand that?
Yes, sir.
All right, by the music, by the tempo, and usually by the weather. How the hell am I going to make you uncomfortable with a cloud cover like this, huh? I can't make you uncomfortable when it is cool. So you know what? Practice is canceled. Get your ass out of here.
Hey, Parker, we're going to the...
I didn't tell anybody, but Mike Farish, who's in charge of setting the meal times. You know, I feel bad, the trainers and the equipment guys and the coaches all prep for practice, but you can't, if you're going to have a secret, you can't tell everybody, right? So the coach, I usually let the coaches in on it. I didn't let them in on it either. Coach Castillo just thought I had something wrong with me. Maybe I need to get it checked out. I've canceled practice before, but not... I didn't carry it all the way to this part. It's good. They had more enthusiasm right there than I've seen in 2 weeks. Hopefully I'll carry it in tomorrow morning practice. We had open dates, you know, somewhere early in the season. I wouldn't be as concerned right now. But right now, you know, we went 3 days. They have an open date. We'll go the next 2 days pretty good. And then kind of have a open Sunday and then school starts. So this will hopefully get them rejuvenated for tomorrow.
All right, guys.
It's pretty good. hey, Jared, Eric, we are not doing a show today. Yay!
I don't think I'd respond.
Down the stairs,
I wouldn't be
in the car.
Like that.
You don't think you'd respond like that?
No, I don't think
that?
So. No.
No? Any luck in Seattle yet?
No.
No?
No.
I mean, I just feel like checking
I like how you just like, hey, let's do this. Hey, let's do that. Usually everything is nice and scripted.
No.
Yes.
Wait till your son gets engaged while you're on the air.
Son? Kids?
Yeah, just wait till it happens.
We do dogs. We don't do kids.
I get it.
Kidding.
You do the rescue animals, but no. I mean, I'm supposed to sit here and do a show now. Everybody who's watching this or consuming it is like, his son just got engaged. And the poor guy's got to sit here and do a show. So I just feel like I want to know, when are they going to get married? Where are they going to get married? How big was the ring? How big of a loan did he have to take out to get the ring? Is she really, truly worth it? I think she is. I kind of like her. I don't know. Plus, I have Goody at the Movies with an Evel Knievel movie coming up. How good is that going to be? Anybody who's over the age, like Eric even knows Evel Knievel. That, when I told you Bill wants to talk about Evel Knievel movie, you didn't blink.
Nope, I know who Evel Knievel is.
So let's just take a break here, and we'll talk to Bill, and then we've got Jerome Sowers, and I'll get back on the tracks maybe Monday. But the next 20, 30 minutes, I'm done. I'm going to sit here and do my thing, but just so you know, all right? Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, it is time for Goody at the Movies. Chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central, Bill Goody Kuntz joins us here on the program. Condolences first, and thoughts, prayers are with you and your family, and I hope you're well.
Thank you. I am. Things are going well. And it's fun to talk about movies after.
let's get over to that. Evel Knievel is somebody that you and I grew up with in that era of black and white and him jumping through fire and the Snake River. And so you sent me this text this morning that there's something new with Evel Knievel. What is this all about?
This was, it's a documentary called Being Evel, and it is fantastic. And I don't, you know, we wondered about this. So how many people now know about Knievel? How many people remember him? When you hear that, how many people think, oh, that guy? But when we were kids, he was a big deal. And one of the things I get into this, he was one of the first guys that was really good at marketing himself and sort of branding himself. And you knew who he was. We got jump motorcycles, like you said, over cars and trucks and stuff. And the thing that's weird about that job is your failure is what sells.
Right.
but it could also be fatal. And so, you know, it's that tricky that tricky balance, and he was good at it. But what he did, like they talked about, and the one, if you go on YouTube and you look this up, you can find it. The Caesar's Palace jump that he did made him famous, and he showed me. He broke like practically every bone in his body. He the footage is just incredible. And they talked about how he went into that and he worked really hard on the marketing of that, but didn't really work on the jump. He didn't really care about that part. And it's fascinating. But the guy was also kind of crazy and mean, and he got rich, and he had two Learjets, and he had all these women on the side, and of course it all falls apart, and it's just fascinating.
He died early, right, Bill? Bill, he died early, right? It's like
he died somewhat early, but when you consider the way he lived his life, yeah. He probably lived longer than he should have.
I think he was like 70 when he passed away, I want to say. And it's been
years. And there hadn't been no more Learjets, none of that. I mean, all that had gone away. As it sort of must. But he was, you know, when I was a kid, actually, and there's a big part of this in the movie, the way that he first started making his millions was there was a little Evel Knievel motorcycle. Mm-hmm. And when you put the little doll on the motorcycle and you turn this crank and it gets going real fast and he goes and he jumps over stuff. And I had one because everybody had one. and it was awesome. I took it, my grandmother's up in the apartment, I took it up to the third floor and launched him off of the thing because he was going to jump the Snake River Canyon. I thought it'd be kind of like that. Anyway, it's in this age when everybody's so marketable, everybody.
Right.
If you're a backup quarterback now, you get a tennis shoe deal, you know? And that this guy kind of helped get that started.
Bill Gutekunst with us, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central. I'm a little distracted today. My son got engaged about 20 minutes ago, just so you know. I'm just trying to,
congratulations.
I know. I'm just trying to do a show. I'm just barely hanging on.
Congratulations to him.
Yeah, to him.
Best wishes to her.
Yeah,
and
best wishes to her. Especially her needing to deal with me as, you know, father-in-law.
So she met you. That's my second question.
I don't know her at all. I'm hanging on by thread, but I am interested in not just the Evel Knievel part, but when you sent me a text that you talked to Liam Neeson. So when Liam Neeson, is this one of those where he called the house?
Yeah.
So Liam Neeson calls the house. So you tell your family, hey, look, Liam is going to call the house. Please be respectful. Or is it you just sitting there looking at the phone waiting for it to ring? How's that one work with Liam Neeson?
I'll tell them, hey, at this point they know. It's like, hey, I've got an interview, or it's either I've got an interview, I've got to do a radio thing. But, and they can, after all this time, they can do a pretty good job of keeping together for about 10 minutes. But after that, you got to kind of...
It's done. It's over with.
But as you recall from our many previous interviews, I have this dog that barks a lot.
You have a bird, too, that I've heard at times.
The bird is no longer with
me. Oh, rest in peace. Rip. So what was Liam Neeson doing calling you?
He's in a movie. He does a voice for an animated film that's a film version of Khalil Gibran's The Prophet, you know, that which every college kid had at one point or another. And the movie is kind of cool, but it doesn't hold together. They take eight of the stories from that book, and they get eight different animators, best in the world, and they each get their own little story. And it looks great, but it just doesn't really hold together as a movie. But it was a chance to talk to Liam Neeson, and I felt like I had to do that.
He's doing something I saw in the New York Daily News about banning carriage horses. Like, this is like something that he's really fascinated with, or has as a cause right now. But
he's into causes. He's one of those kind of guys. I mean, but when I was talking to him, and since this is an animated film, it's voice work. That guy's voice is amazing. It's got that. So obviously he's Irish, so he's got that going. But it's just deep and everything. You just wonder what it's like to sit around the table with those guys and have them say like "pass the salt" or whatever. You know, it's like
pass
does,
the
does
salt.
Everybody just kind of like just like you know, oh, you know.
I have to take a leak. Oh.
Yeah.
No, you're right. It's kind of like Morgan. It'd be like having dinner with Morgan Freeman. Can you just say prawns one more time, Morgan? Just shrimp and prawns. Prawns.
You just keep saying what, so he'll say it again.
Right. Anything else coming up that you're excited about? I saw the, what was the name of the movie? The Meryl Streep thing. I saw it last week. Where she's a rocker. Yeah, I didn't like it either. My wife thought it was fine. It was because Rick Springfield's in it and he's got his shirt off and they're in bed. So if it's Rick Springfield in bed and it's a 49-year-old woman, I can't say she's 50. It's a 49-year-old woman. Forget it. It's Rick Springfield. So you know that goes.
And he's actually good in it.
Yeah, he's better than her, but she'll get nominated for something because it's Meryl Streep, right?
Yeah, and she did her usual Meryl Streep thing. She took a month off and learned to play the guitar really well, and you know. So that part's realistic. And I actually talked to Jonathan Demme, who directed that, for that movie.
Yeah.
And that's one of those things where you try, you can't really talk about the movie that much. So you talk, oh, you did Silence of the Lambs. Let's talk about that. Yeah. Like, and you always wonder if they know, you know, it's like, it's the reason you're not talking to me. But what can you do? I mean, what am I going to say? Hey, I was really disappointed in your movie, but thanks for talking to me.
Yeah, but you've done that before, haven't you? Just nicely, politely. You've had to have. You've had to have said, your movie blows, but let's just get through the 10 minutes.
I think that the code word, the keyword is interesting. Your movie was interesting. and if something's interesting, it's not good.
I had a few of those dates back in the day. Unfortunately, they were the ones saying to me, that was a really interesting date. So let's move on. All right, I'll let you go off that.
All right.
Thanks for the time.
So much.
See ya. Here's Bill Gutekunst. Goody at the Movies. That was pretty good there, huh, Eric? I was into it. I was fine. I didn't look at my phone. No pictures.
Are you asking me or telling me? It
I'm
sounds
telling
like you're
you.
Telling me. Yeah.
I'm telling you.
I like when you do that. You're pretending to ask me, but you're really just telling
no,
me.
No, I'm just telling you. I was pretty good there. I was given a text in the last segment that I wasn't supposed to say anything about the engagement or put it up on Facebook. And, of course, I said that moment when you're doing a show and your son gets engaged and everybody thinks it's great. So I got all these big exclamation points, please take it down. But I haven't because I'm doing a show. I'm too busy. So if I screwed the whole thing up, it's fine.
I like it. You kind of just like are creating your own path today. You're kind of going in whatever direction you want to go to, regardless of what your son, your producer,
anybody,
your tech.
I don't care.
Yeah, clearly.
I don't care.
That's okay sometimes. I don't care. It's okay.
We can do this show.
There's just so many inside jokes there.
We could just go for like, I don't know, another hour or so and not take a break. It'd be fine by me. I've got a lot on my mind today. Oh, wait. Okay, you can all go now. That means we can all put it up. Are we going to call him or not? We've got Jerome Sowers coming up, so we probably don't have time. But I tried. I was trying to do the fatherly thing, but the music's playing, which means Eric just wants me to get out of here. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. Hey, every now and then we all have little things that go on in our world. Today is the day where my firstborn got engaged while I was doing the show. That's kind of cool. We have content up and plenty of it on our website that you can check out. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We actually have some other partnerships we're going to announce in the next week or so. A couple new projects I'm working on. I'm actually looking for some people to help for the first time since we've been doing this. So we're just growing. We're having fun doing it. Thanks for being with us. And now, as promised, let's go to Flagstaff. Jerome Sowers joins us for a couple of minutes. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Brad Sussmat with you. Coach Sowers and company going through scrimmages, their opener in a couple of weeks at Stephen F. Austin, their home opener September 12th against New Mexico Highlands. And they will play U of A in Tucson on September 19th. A ton of kids from around the state. And I get fans that say, you do all this U of A with Rich, and you do all this ASU with Todd, and you don't do enough with Jerome. So just so you know, you could start your own fan club if you don't have one already, which I'm sure you do. That's the way it goes. How are you?
Doing great. How are you doing?
Jerome, I'm doing well. I'm doing well. The season is right around the corner, so it's scrimmage times. How have your scrimmages looked to this point? Do you feel like the team is where it needs to be?
Well, we started off with our first real full scrimmage last Saturday. Then the guys were very enthusiastic, playing with great passion. And, I think we had more offensive firepower in the first scrimmage than we've had in years past. Emmanuel Butler has shown to be quite the playmaker for us, and it's been a process. We've had a few exchanges since then. Our next one is coming this Saturday, and it's our biggest scrimmage of camp, and we need to see a lot of growth, both offensively and defensively.
All right, so let's go through this. When you and I talked about quarterbacks, and you were going down one path, you ended up going a different direction. Where are you at with your quarterbacks right now?
Well, we wanted to make the quarterback position more competitive. With returners Jordan Perry and Kyron Pope, who both played last year, mm-hmm. we felt like we needed an additional guy in that lineup. And we ended up signing Case Cookus, who was out of Ventura College. He actually has not officially played there, so he was 5'4". He's 6'3" and a half, 195 pounds. Got a cannon for an arm, and he's very athletic. He probably runs in the 4.6 flat range. The guy can fly. And so far out of camp, Jordan and Case have made a lot of progress and appear to be in the tightest part of the battle. But Kyron's improved, and Jordan's improved, and so I think we made the position more competitive. Everybody's working harder, and Tim Plow, our new quarterback coach and coordinator, has done a great job of simplifying what we're trying to do at that position to make it more effective.
Are they different in styles? I mean, I've seen Kyron, of course, through the years, but top to bottom, is your quarterbacks, are they all different styles?
I would say they're a little bit more similar than we've mm-hmm. had in the past. And all three of them are athletic. All three of them, have improved throwing motions. Case is a pure thrower, and Jordan has really improved his mechanics in the offseason. I think those two have had the lead and the best efficiency. But what's been fun to watch is watching their rapport with the receiving core. And I think we've probably got 8 or 9 guys that can contribute in any given year in our program. They're all here right now and eligible, and it's you know, that part's going to be fun to watch.
No, when we were up there and we saw your wide receiving core, it's the deepest receiving core you've had, right?
It, without a question. Yeah. You know, Tim Plow was our receiver coach for the last couple of years, and he's moved to the quarterback position, but before he did, he repopulated that position by some, you know, excellent recruiting, identification of talent, and you know, he's really impacted our program. I'm talking about Coach Plow.
Jerome Sowers with us, sports360az.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic, Brad Sussmat, NAU. Scrimmage tomorrow. Media Day is on Sunday, so their season gets started right around the corner. Rickert and Walker coming back onto the field for their redshirt senior seasons. Tell me about that angle.
Well, you know, we missed their leadership last year. Mm-hmm. We ended up playing a lot of different guys, and so to get them back as seniors at 23 years old, you know, means a lot. You expect leadership out of both of them. Expect you know, the quality of play out of both of them. They've had great off seasons, so both of them are stronger and you know, are better suited to contribute for us. So the tight end position led by RJ should be strong, and Dijon has been excellent during camp this year.
How about Casey? How's he looked?
Casey on, you know, we had a couple of runs the last couple of days where he's looked really sharp. All aspects of his game, you know, running the ball, protecting the quarterback, you know, in pass protection and, you know, running routes. You know, Casey's a veteran now and another leader on the offensive side of the ball. And we expect great things out of Casey this year.
What is you, as you and I are sitting here talking today, Jerome, what do you need to get answered here in the next few weeks before you open at Stephen F. Austin on that side of the ball?
Our quarterback, you know, the depth chart there, you know, the roles that they're going to play, you know, in our offense. We ended up using three quarterbacks last year, and it's not uncommon at all for college teams to have at least two quarterbacks that they have to go to. You know, so the way the game is going, you got to be, you know, you have to have depth, but you also have to get the right guy out on the field. I think that defensively, we've brought a lot of new talent in our linebacker and safety corner positions. We've added a couple of new D tackles that are going to contribute, and you know, all guys that are incoming in the program, it's 39 new faces, have got to be able to integrate with the rest of the team, and the closer we can get, you know, and the faster we can get that kind of team chemistry, the better off we're going to be. So, you know, really, it's a right now, role identification. Everybody that's going to step up has got to step up and show the coaches that they're capable of contributing and contributing on a consistent basis.
Kendall Taylor is a player that we saw here, of course, and we talked with you earlier in spring about him, and there's a lot of fans that wonder about his development.
Well, it's been a little slower because he's learning several positions. He's a receiver and a tailback.
Mm-hmm.
And using him, I mean, he ran off a 70-yard touchdown run the other day and looked really sharp at running back. And you know, with the depth of our receivers, it's tougher to break into that lineup. But he's doing, you know, he's very athletic and very capable. And we just want to find the right place on the field where he can use his skills and athleticism.
So he's one of those.
Kendall's just another one of those guys. You know, he's really a good player.
Yeah. Defensively, tell me about Alford.
Marcus Alford has been, you know, a two-time first team All-Conference All-American. He's a cover corner. The guy has been our lockdown guy. We need to put a stop on somebody. He's the guy we got to turn to, and he's done a great job of not just honing his skills and his contribution, but his leadership. You know, he's taken a lot of young corners and young defensive backs in our program and put them under his wing, and is leading them in the right direction. And Marcus is a program guy. You know, he believes in his teammates, he's been a pleasure to work with, and having a guy around like that means a lot to us.
Jerome Sowers with us. Before I let you go, I only have a couple of minutes left in the segment, so I'm giving the defense kind of a short shift here because we talk so much offense. Defensively, what are your questions before the Stephen F. Austin game you need to get answered?
Well, the way that we shake out on defense, we always want to be able to play aggressive. You know, we want to be able to attack. We want to be able to, you know, to match up that will allow us to do that. So getting our back end, you know, consistent in coverage, consistent in the way that we disguise coverages, you know, getting our D-line to play in the offensive side of the ball, you know, getting good get-off and penetration and creating havoc, you know, it's those kind of, you know, shaping those kind of roles for the guys out on the field. And Andy Thompson, our D coordinator, has done a great job in not just the recruiting of defensive players, but, you know, the positioning of each of the guys so that that's a strength. And, you know, I think we have a chance to be as good a defense as we've had in years past.
Mm. What do you know about Stephen F. Austin?
Well, they were a playoff team last year. They're, one of the spread option teams where the quarterback is the main emphasis. They've got a guy that's a 6'6 quarterback. He's 245 pounds, very athletic, runs the ball well, and kind of a giant back there behind center. Real big kid. They lost a great tailback, but the state of Texas has really good football in high school, so
sure.
They'll have no shortage of talent on their team, and playing them on the road in the heat and the humidity could be a challenge for us. And you know, again, they were a playoff team last year, so their program has some strong tradition. And we expect them to be as good a team as you're going to play in the FCS.
You're talking about Texas, and how many kids on your roster are from Arizona, the state, this year? Off top of your head.
We are just over half, and that puts us, we have 95 guys on the roster, and I think our number is like at 49, in the 49-50 range. And that's been an emphasis point of our recruiting efforts to get guys from the state of Arizona to stay in state and to, take pride in working together. A lot of these guys have played against each other in high school, so to come up there, there's already familiarity. There's always a sense of, pride in representing the state of Arizona. And team chemistry comes easier because a lot of these guys are very familiar with each other and familiar with the state and familiar with the expectations are for our program. And so it's I've really enjoyed that aspect of it. And, having been here 18 years now, a lot of my first-class guys are, in their 40s and are active contributors and as alumni now and booster relationships. And so it's been a fun time. It's been an awesome experience here. And I think that this year, we're on an upward trajectory and our guys are doing things the right way and really enjoying coaching here at Northern Arizona University.
As always, Jerome, I appreciate the time and the visit. Thanks.
Thank you, Brian.
Take care. There's Jerome Sowers for a couple of minutes. Northern Arizona University on Sunday. It is Media Day, scrimmage tomorrow. Opening game right around the corner against Stephen F. Austin, the season opener for the Jacks as they get things off and running.